12 great chapters of the Bible. There are many, but a dozen have been selected for our special study. Lesson number one, the great love lyric. We shall be studying 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is Paul's classic on the effects of love in the human heart. The Lord desires me to call attention of his people to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Ellen White wrote long ago. Read this chapter every day. From it obtain comfort and strength. Learn from it the value that God places on sanctified, heaven-born love. And let the lesson that it teaches come home to your hearts. Learn that Christ-like love is of heavenly birth, and that without it, all other qualifications are worthless. Part number one, love gifts of the Spirit. We begin this section with a brief review of chapter 12 as well as chapter 14. In chapter 12, Paul gives to us the gifts, list of the gifts of the Spirit: wisdom, knowledge, faith, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation. And then he says there are functions like apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. The church has been entrusted by the Spirit with all these gifts. That is, individuals have been selected as recipients of these gifts. And all these gifts have one purpose. They are to communicate the love of Jesus Christ to everyone with whom contact is made. They are for the purpose of communicating the gospel. In chapter 14, he picks up on tongues and the sole purpose of tongues are for communication. They are not for believers, he emphasizes. They are for non-believers, so that the non-believers can hear in their own tongues the wonderful words of God, as was the case on the day of Pentecost, and when Peter had a Bible study with Cornelius and his Gentile friends. So in between the 12th and the 14th chapters that deal with communication and the means of communication, Paul dropped in this magnificent lyric on love. And he emphasizes that if love is missing, no amount of communication will be at all successful. As we think about this chapter, we should form in our minds what the word love means. In English, we are very loose with this word love. We say, for example, I love Jesus. And then we may say, in 10 breaths later, I love chocolate, or whatever. Is the same emotion when I say I love Jesus displayed when I say I love whatever? Crackers, mangoes, durians? Of course not. But in English, we don't differentiate. In Greek, there were three words for love. Sexual love that demanded, that absorbed, was eros. Philos was that mutual love, fellow love, love of the brethren. Philos, Adelphos, Philadelphia. And then there was the love that God is. God is agape love. Agape love is totally selfless. Philos is mutual, and eros is self-demanding. God is this selfless love, and this is what he is discussing in chapter 13 of his epistle. It's the dynamic of deity that must be seen in human personality. Part number two. If we don't have this love, Paul opens his lyric, we are nothing. I can speak with tongues, sound like an angel, but if I don't have love, my speech is as non-communicative as the whack on a cymbal. I can have the gift of prophecy, by which I reveal all kinds of truths that the ordinary person hasn't perceived, but if I do this without love, I am nothing. I can be generous. I can be magnanimous, give everything I have, even give my body to be burned. But if I do this for some motive other than love, I am nothing. This word nothing is greatly emphasized. I am zero if I am not driven by this principle of true love that comes from God and God alone. Part number three, loveless, faithless teaching. This section covers preaching, prophesying, proclaiming, giving Bible studies, communicating in any way. Now this can be on the level of teacher to pupils, of preacher to congregation, of parent to children, of boss to those people he is controlling. If I try to communicate, if I try just to give information and lack the motivation of selfless love, then my communication is very limited. If I do it with too much self-emphasis, I cut their ears off. They don't listen to me, and my words just wash over them without communicating anything at all. And this is true of the work that the gospel ambassador, at whatever level, with whatever kind of information, tries to communicate truth. If I miss these things, there is no effective communication that I can make. Part number four. Love's 16 parts. Now you can divide them up into all sorts of ways if you want to. There are 7 positives. Love is patient, long-suffering, kind, overlooks faults, full of faith, full of hope, full of true belief, enduring, rejoices in the truth. These are the qualities, the positive qualities of love. When we try to communicate, we are patient. We meet with indifference. We meet with criticism. We meet with rejection. But we are still patient. And patient means to suffer under. That is, we bear under. We bear up what we are to consider as a burden. Love is kind. Kind comes from children, from kindred. It's the attitude we have to those who are closest to us. As a mother treats her child, supplying all his or her needs with great kindness. We overlook faults. We say to ourselves, at this stage of development, they don't know. They wouldn't do this deliberately. We project the best motives on them. And then faith and hope are the attitudes we take towards obstacles and the unknown future. Faith, trust, belief in God, and hope that He's got an expected end for us. Then it endures, keeps on. It isn't snuffed out in a moment. And it rejoices in the truth. This word truth is real. reality, what is there, what is right. It rejoices in it. These are the positives. Now there are several negatives. The lesson said 16. I tried and I may be able to get 16, but I got 15 altogether. The negatives are, love is not jealous. It's not arrogant. It's not conceited. It's not rude. It does not insist on getting its own rights. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. It is not glad when other people go wrong. And love never fails. That takes the positive of enduring and makes it on the negative side. It never fails. I was impressed again. Love never insists on its rights. I think of Desire of Ages' statement about the Lord Jesus Christ. He never insisted on his rights. One of the buzzwords of this part of the 20th century is rights. Everyone must get his rights. Of course, that's what justice means. Justice is literally giving to everything, event, person, what is due. That's what justice means. What is due to those persons or things or events or those parts of a contract or whatever. You give it its due weight, its due consideration. Now today we hear of rights, minority rights, women's rights, religious rights, every kind of right. Meekness is the absence of self-justification. It's the absence of demanding rights. Jesus Christ never demanded his rights. If they weren't accorded to him, he didn't push for them. He was the creator of the universe. He was the savior of the world. He was the stabilizer of the upsetting vibrations that Satan had brought into the universe. It's impossible to conceive of a more important person or role as far as mankind is concerned than the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he moved for 30 plus years through the countryside of Palestine, never demanding what should have come to him. The only time he got some was on the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. A momentary accord of gratitude and appreciation for the highest, which is what he was. And he demonstrated in all its fullness what love is. Part number 5, love, hope, faith, survive. As he finishes his love poem, Paul says there are 3 things, faith, hope, and love. Our lesson puts love first, Paul puts it last. Faith is the gift of Jesus Christ, which enables us to take his promises as if they were real, and live by them as if they were really functional. Faith. Hope is that inner drive that he gives to us because of what he has promised to do for us. We are hopeful. We look forward to the goal. He says, I love you, and I will give you, and I will hold before you a final reward, a final objective. And the blessed hope is that Jesus will come again. And by the faith he puts into my heart, I take that blessed hope and I am able to live by it. And love, of course, is the inner dynamic that he gives to us that motivates us to take all that he has done for us and live by it to please him. Part number 6, the love of God and its opposite are the hate of Satan. As you think about these two ideas, you discover that God's love always builds, always saves, is always edifying, and hate is always angry, and always murderous, and always destroying. What love stands for, hate destroys. When love comes into operation, it is to swallow up hate in victory. And as we read and reread this wonderful chapter, let us pray that the love of God may indeed be shed abroad in our hearts by His Spirit.